be dispensed with, and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Dan Ankerfeldt from Minnehaha Communion Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. After the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Abiding and eternal God, we gather before you this day, mindful and aware of all that you give to us, that how we have been blessed surrounds us and supports us. May these gifts from you help us to nurture those whom with we share. We also ask you this day to continue to inspire and bestow upon these legislators your wisdom and knowledge, that this might become the mantra and motif for how they lead and serve. We also invoke your aid and guidance, O God, so that equity, justice, and goodness can prevail for all, and that these decisions and deliberations here made might be considered for the sake and good of all. Let all these requests and whatever else you know that we need be heard. And may your guiding hand and spirit grow in and among those who gather here this day. Hear us now, O God, as we come before you in this new day. In your holy name we pray, now and always. Amen.
Which stands, one nation, liberty and justice for all. There's an echo in the chamber. I was worried it was a disturbance. The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J, Peterson B, Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file, herewith returned. Senate file number 380, a bill for an act relating to workforce development, adding a representative from adult basic education programs to the Workforce Development Council, signed Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives. Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments, the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 489, a bill for an act relating to retirement. Minnesota State Retirement System, Public Employees Retirement Association, and former local police and paid firefighter relief associations.
Senate
file number 489 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move to lay Senate file 489 on the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 1270, a bill for an act relating to transportation, modifying provisions governing transportation and public safety policies. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Earhart, Hornstein, Mason, Swatsky, and Hamilton. Senate file number 1270 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Secretary will read the next message, which is not on your agenda.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 459. House File Number 459, a bill for an act relating to children's health, prohibiting sale of children's food containers containing bisphenol A. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of 3 members be appointed thereon. Atkins, Lilly, and Abler have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House file number 459 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 459 and that a conference committee of 3 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files, herewith transmitted. House files number 92, 902, 634, and 1117, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The bills will be referred as indicated and given their first reading. Fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The bills on the agenda will be given their second reading. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. Senator Dibble.
Madam President, I move that Senate file number 925, number 45 on general orders be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
This is your bill?
Yes, Madam President.
And the Finance Chair is supportive?
Yes, Madam President.
All those in favor of the Dibble motion say aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'd like to move for a recess of the Senate for approximately 1 hour.
All those in favor of the motion to recess, say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, the Majority Caucus will caucus immediately in room 107.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you. Republicans will caucus in room 112.
Senate is in recess.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant of Arms is instructed to bring in the absent members. Before we start special orders, pursuant to Rule 12.5, Senator Tomasoni moved that the following members be excused for a conference committee on House File 976 at 2 p.m. Senators Tomasoni, Sparks, Saxhog, Metzen, and Westrom. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, the list is on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is number 33 on general orders, House File 947, Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the amendment made to House File 947 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted on May 3, 2013, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Would you explain that, Senator Sharon?
Thank you, Madam President. There's some minor differences in the language between the House and the Senate bill. I could introduce an amendment to the Senate file language to resolve those or simply accept the language from the House. And so what this amendment does is accept the language from the House.
And you're saying this is just minor differences?
Yes, it simply deletes a couple of terms and changes a singular to a plural.
Okay. All those in favor of the Sharon motion say aye. Opposed nay. Motion prevails. Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam President. This initiative is a recodification bill. During the 2011 session, the legislature directed the Commissioner of Human Services to review existing laws related to civil commitment of individuals as sexual psychopathic personalities or sexually dangerous persons, and propose legislation that clearly organizes the law and distinguishes it from the laws relating to other forms of civil commitment. Senate File 490, which is in front of us now, House File 947, is the result of that review. It recodifies sex offender civil commitment provisions from Chapter 253B to a new Chapter 253D. And it tailors 253D, which is the new chapter, to sex offender civil commitments. And the House file includes several changes in the frequently used terms and also makes minor clarifying adjustments to some provisions based on distinctions between the sex offender commitments and other types of commitment. When the current sex offender civil commitment laws were enacted, it was in 1994. And at that time, we relied on the procedures and standards from statutes governing the mentally ill and dangerous. And during recent legislative commitments or sessions, a number of the provisions were enacted that are specific to the sexually dangerous person and to the psychopathic personality. These commitments began to process different components to them that we did not want and do not in the future want to impact the mentally ill and dangerous. And so the recommendation was made that these changes occur in order to separate clearly the civil commitment process for the mentally ill and dangerous from those who are committed as sexual predators. So this initiative would consolidate and reorganize all of the commitment sex offender specific provisions in order to distinguish them from the civil commitments, all other civil commitment categories. I think that that clearly defines what occurs here. There are not any substantive changes. The language changes are really taking language from the chapter or civil commitment for mentally ill and dangerous and moves it over into, so the new language is really language that's already in law but is applied only to the one chapter that includes mentally ill and dangerous. So this really sets us up to be able in the future to make changes to civil commitment law for the sex offenders. You know that there's another bill. I want to make sure that everybody's clear that there's nothing in this bill that's really new language. There's other language coming forward in the legislature, hopefully this year, if not next, related to a court case involving some concerns about our civil commitment process. None of that language is in this bill. This is simply a separation and creating a new chapter, separating out the civil commitment process for the mentally ill and dangerous to the sexual psychopath. So with that, I'll hope for your supportive vote.
Is there any discussions? Senator Westrom? No. Is there any discussion? Are there any amendments? Then the Secretary will give House File 947 its third reading.
House File Number 947, a bill for an act relating to human services, distinguishing and clarifying law regarding civil commitment of sexually dangerous persons and persons with sexual psychopathic personalities from other civil commitments.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the secretary will wait. Three more votes. All senators having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 59 in favor and 0 opposed, the motion prevails. The bill is passed as title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 59 on general orders, House File 458, Senator Rest.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 458 is the second bill in a group of bills that are dealing with toxic materials or elements, toxic chemicals in children's project in products. And last week we heard from Senator Subin with regard to BPA in promoting the prohibition of the sale of children's food containers that contain that chemical. Today, we're taking up a bill with regard to personal products, products that take that touch the skin of children, with regard to formaldehyde or products that release formaldehyde in their use. And so, looking at the bill, we have defined what, for purposes of this bill, the world child, what the word "child" means, and it was a compromise between the original bill that was offered, which was at 12 years, and those that wanted it to be set a bit younger. So 8 years is not a magic number, but it did represent a compromise. We also define children's product as a product designed or intended by a manufacturer to be physically applied or introduced into a child's body. That excludes a food, beverage, dietary supplement, or a medical device, and we define that by reference to the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act that has been, as it was amended, through February of this year. The ban itself sets forward that beginning in January 1st of 2014, a new manufacturer may knowingly, and that is a crucial element, cannot intentionally introduce for sale a product that contains formaldehyde, including formaldehyde contained in a solution, or ingredients that chemically degrade under their normal condition of temperature and pressure to release formaldehyde. We also address the issue of replacement chemicals so that a manufacturer cannot use a replacement chemical that is equally toxic to in comparison with formaldehyde. We also set forward some standards to reference in with regard to these chemicals, so that the for example, the standards for toy safety, ASTM refers to the American Society for Testing and Materials, that that creates an international voluntary consensus standards, and the language here is suggested by the Toy Industry Association to clarify that toys are not covered under this policy. That's not what we're talking about, and so forth. So, Madam President, that is the bill, and I would welcome your support.
Is there any discussion? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I'm going to point out the same section of the bill that I pointed out on the Sieben bill. In this bill, it's section 3, starting on line 2.7, relating to the replacement chemicals that can be used to replace formaldehyde. Starting on line 2.9, there's language that says, quote, with a chemical known to the manufacturer to have been identified on the basis of credible scientific evidence by a state, meaning any state, federal or international agency, as being known or suspected with a high degree of probability to, etc., and it lists the clauses there. As I stated last week, the problem with this language, members, is that it subjects the state to any one of the other 49 states' regulatory frameworks or international agency, which is not qualified at all in this bill. So I find it really poor governance. Definitely an encroachment on our sovereignty as a state to regulate our own industries, and I would ask that Senator Rest take a question.
Senator Rest, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Rest, looking on line 2.10, let's look at the term international agency. What limitations are being placed on exactly what kind of international agency or what number of international agencies that could potentially make a ruling on this issue?
Senator Rest.
Madam President, I think the more important part of that is to look at the phrases before the state, federal, or international agencies to understand that what we're relying on is the basis of credible scientific evidence that has been produced elsewhere, and to make sure that we don't have to reinvent the wheel by speaking in reference or by making decisions with reference to those chemicals. And, you know, we do rely on international agreements and treaties and so forth that are done without consulting the state of Minnesota specifically, and we comply with them, and it's not exactly a new it's not creating new ground in my mind to do that. And I respect Senator Peterson's concern, but in this instance, I believe it's misplaced.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. And surely industries abide by international standards all the time, oftentimes self-regulate through international codes and things of that nature. What's in question here, though, is that, number one, the line credible scientific evidence is a subjective term that is not necessarily a certain standard that could be met, but more importantly, The term by just saying international agency does not limit which agency or which number of agencies that could make a ruling in this regard. Other examples of international regulation are spelled out and, like I said, often self-imposed on the industry themselves. Maybe I'll ask if Senator Rest would yield to another question, Madam President.
Senator Rest, will you yield? She will yield. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. On line 2.10, when it says credible scientific evidence by a state, does that mean that any one of the 49 other states in the country could, in effect, ban a replacement chemical substance in the state of Minnesota?
Senator Rest.
Madam President, the way I read that is that Minnesota would do that based on credible scientific evidence found by another state, by a state agency outside of Minnesota. It's not that their action dictates ours, it's that we would follow in Minnesota in terms of the requirements for manufacturers and at some point by retailers to pay attention and to act accordingly to protect the safety of children with regard to these extremely harmful toxic chemicals.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. Thank you, Senator Rest. And I, again, as I stated last week, I'm not going to debate whether or not the chemicals are harmful or that we shouldn't even proceed, members, in banning formaldehyde. What I'm saying is that we shouldn't subject state environmental regulations and chemical regulations or otherwise to decisions that are made by unknown out-of-state entities or even unknown international agencies of which are not qualified in any way in Section 3 in this bill. So, Madam President, I'd like to move the A1 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Taken.
Senator Peterson moves to amend House File Number 458 as follows, page 2, line 10. And this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President. And to Senator Rest's comments on the language regarding state regulation, I think this amendment actually meets the standard that Senator Rest had pointed out in that the intent, at least, is to allow the state of Minnesota to be the final arbiter of what regulations are going to be placed on entities or industries in our own state. So it just replaces the ambiguous term of a state with the state of Minnesota or federal government. So I think it's an amendment, members, that is good government, that makes sure that the proper governing body in the state of Minnesota has purview over decisions regarding our industries in our own state. And I don't think it takes one bit away from the merit of this bill or the merit of banning formaldehyde altogether. We can still proceed and do that. We simply give this legislature the final ability to regulate in this state. And I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Rest.
Madam President, I would ask that members vote no. I don't believe that this amendment is necessary or helpful to the bill, and I would ask your opposition.
Is there any more discussion on the A1 amendment? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I'd like to ask the author a question.
Will the author yield? She will yield. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Rest, if North Korea decided to prohibit a replacement chemical, would we then follow suit in Minnesota?
Senator Rest.
Madam President, Senator Brown, I have no idea.
Senator Brown.
Well, Madam President and members, I have an idea because it's right here in the bill. It says any international agency. So if North Korea or Cuba or Communist China or any international agency deemed that a replacement chemical should be prohibited, then we would follow suit in Minnesota because that is what's in this legislation. So members, it's not sections 1 and 2 of this bill that I have issue with. In fact, I could possibly even vote for the bill if it was just sections one or two. But that's not what we're talking about, members. We're talking about section three that opens the door for any international agency to rule on a replacement chemical. And if they prohibit it, then according to this bill, we in Minnesota must prohibit it. There's no arguing that. It's in the language of this bill. So, members, I would ask that you support Senator Peterson's amendment that clearly defines that it's the state of Minnesota or the federal government who would have authority over this. And, Madam President, I would like to impose a call of the Senate.
The Senate is under call. Sorry, Senator Brown.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant is instructed to bring in the absent members. Further discussion on the A1 amendment. Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the A1 amendment. Senate is under call. Members shall vote. All senators having voted that desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 26 in favor, 35 opposed, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Are there any other amendments or any other discussion? Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to offer the A50 amendment.
The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Nino moves to amend House File number 458 as follows, page 2, line 8, and this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam President. Unfortunately, that was a good amendment that was offered up. I did not speak to it, but I spoke to a similar amendment on a similar bill, I believe, last week. This is a more limited version of this, of that amendment. At least, I would hope that we could support eliminating any international agency that is identified as being associated with identified by the Department of State as being state sponsors of terrorism, or whether the U.S. Department of Treasury has trade restrictions because of untoward activities. Madam President, I will ask for a roll call vote.
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Senator Rest.
Madam President, I don't have any objection to this amendment.
Senator Ninal, do you still want your roll call?
I do, Madam President. Okay. For the sake of time, I'll withdraw the request. For the sake of time, I will withdraw the request.
Withdraw the request for the roll call. Okay. Request for the roll call has been withdrawn. Any more discussion on the A50 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on House File 458.
Third reading.
Sorry. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File number 458, a bill for an act relating to public health, banning formaldehyde in certain children's products.
Secretary will take the roll. Senate is under call. Members should vote. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 38 ayes and 23 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 135 on general orders, House File 1113. Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that the amendment made to House File number 113 by the Committee on Rules and Administration in the report adopted May 3rd, 2013, pursuant to Rule 45, be stricken.
Senator Dietzick on that motion.
Yes, Madam President. This is the LCCMR bill, which is a Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources. There are a few differences between the House file and the Senate file, and so I am recommending that we take the, I've talked to many members here, and I am recommending that we take the House file. This past summer, and in the past, the DNR was the fiscal agent for several grants and also was a recipient of grants, and so there was a lot of discussion on if that was a conflict. There was also discussion from the DNR if they wanted to continue that role, and so we had LCCMR, the Department of Admin, and the Department of Natural Resources has met several times over the winter and into the session to kind of work out these details. When we dropped the bill earlier this year, the House file put in kept the Department of Natural Resources as the fiscal agent, and in the Senate we agreed to put in the Department, well, we left it blank, and then we put in the Department of Admin. They had a few other changes. The House Also is recommended funding to do evaluate restoration projects, kind of like an audit. They're also tightening some language regarding land acquisition that has been suggested by staff, and also make it consistent with the Lessard-Sams Commission. They're also requiring that the added language requiring the assessed value for properties be submitted and known prior to acquiring the property, and that the DNR commissioner approve the acquisition. So for that reason, and because they've been productive meetings between the DNR, admin, and the LCCMR, and they are recommending that the DNR stay as a fiscal agent, so for that reason, I am recommending that we stick with the House file.
On the motion by Senator Dedzic that the amendment to House File 1113 by the Committee on Rules pursuant to Rule 45 be stricken, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Dedzic on the bill.
Okay, thank you, Madam President. I am honored to present House File 1113, the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources recommendation for project funding beginning this coming July. The function of the LCCMR is to make recommendations to the legislatures for special environment and natural resource projects funded by the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. This dedicated fund is a combination of state lottery proceeds and investment income, and is to provide a stable source of funding for activities that maintain and enhance Minnesota's environment and natural resources. Joining me this past year on the LCCMR were former Senators Jen Olson and Al DeCreef, and Senator Scoy and Senator Dames. You have several handouts on your desk, including the 2011-2012 biennial report. This past summer, the LCCMR received 169 proposals, totaling approximately $155 million. We heard 69 presentations, and we are recommending 46 proposals collectively to receive $38.2 million in funding from the trust fund. Many of the projects we heard were related to invasive species. We are recommending funding for several of these projects because invasive species, from Asian carp to zebra mussels to garlic mustard to emerald ash borer, have the potential to seriously damage our environment and our economy. 22 of the projects we are recommending are statewide projects or have statewide implications, like the Aquatic Invasive Species Center at the U of M, the Sudan Mine Lab in northeastern Minnesota, a zebra mussel control research program, and improving control and detection of emerald ash borer. We have about 1 million ash trees in the state of Minnesota, and if the ash borer wipes those out, that has huge implications to our environment and our economy. Some of these statewide projects are multi-year projects, like the Minnesota Biological Survey. This is a project that has systemically collected data on plants, animals, and landscapes. About 81 counties are completed, and so hopefully we'll do about six more this year. 13 of the projects we are recommending are non-metro regional projects, including a project to evaluate a new approach to forest inventory to reduce cost and improve usability in central, northeast, and northwestern Minnesota. We have a project relating to conservation grazing to improve wildlife habitat in central Minnesota. We have a project to evaluate and improve water quality in up to 14 lakes in southern Minnesota, and a project to help restore moose habitat in northeast Minnesota, and a project to preserve the Avon Hills landscape in Stearns County. We have 11 projects in the greater 11-county metro area and adjacent areas, like the Frogtown Farm and Park acquisition, that leverage additional nonprofit funding to provide increased green space and a demonstration farm in a local area for a low-income, culturally diverse area in St. Paul. In addition to the 46 projects we are recommending, the bill also contains extensions. These are time extensions for 11 projects that were funded in 2010. They don't require additional funds, but they require additional time to complete the project. We have an odd season here. The funding season starts in July, where hopefully the planting season is usually started by now. Hopefully we won't have snow in July. But so because we need that extra season going into the next summer, these 11 projects are requesting additional time. Madam Chair, it has been an honor to serve on the LCCMR. I learned a lot sitting through all the proposal presentations this past summer. We have an opportunity to fund some interesting projects that provide research and information to improve and protect the quality of life, our environment, and our economy in Minnesota. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Senator Scoy, Senator Dames, and Senator Tomasoni. Thank you, members, for considering this bill, and I ask for your support and stand for questions.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. And first, I'd like to thank Senator Dietzick and the other co-authors for the hard work they've done on this bill. I rise in support of the bill. There was some discussion in LCCM about the fiscal host, and at the end of the day, it was decided that the fiscal host would continue to be the DNR, and there were some agreements made out, some agreements agreed to, and some clarification on some of the issues that have been taken care of, and this agreement has come to with the LCCMR, the Outdoor Heritage, and the Deputy Administrator. So I think that that's resolved, and we'll move forward with that for another year. On page 11, there's some language about the University of Minnesota doing the study to make sure that the land restoration is being done according to the request in the RFPs, and the university will be doing that this upcoming year. But in the next round of RFPs, there'll be an opportunity for other people to apply to also do that study and research. So all in all, this is a good bill, and I'd urge the members to vote for it. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And I'd like to thank Senator Dietzick for working on a portion of the bill that was concerning to me with regards to the administration different projects here. It was brought to our attention that the DNR had been doing them, and most of them are DNR based, and the question came up as to why administration was going to do it. She met with the parties involved and was able to get that resolved, and I really appreciate her work on this. And members, I would say this is a very good bill and would vote green for it.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 1113 its third reading.
House File Number 1113, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, appropriating money from Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, modifying provisions for Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 55 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 118 on general orders, House File 969, Senator Eaton.
Thank you, Madam President. This bill is titled the Chemical and Mental Health Services Policy Bill. It's a technical bill from the Department of Human Services. The purpose is to update outdated statutes and rules applying to children's mental health and state-operated services. The statutory changes are to repeal unused service package options under Children's Therapeutic Services and Supports and the Children's Mental Health Rehabilitation Benefit. The Children's Therapeutic Services has a service package that no one qualifies to provide and is being and is unused. So they're aligning it to the statute under the revised medical assistant outpatient mental health payment rule. They're also including to the special review board a doctorate of psychology with forensic experience. The are changing the they're defining the diagnostic assessment, and they're updating cross references regarding psychotherapy used in the children's therapeutic services and supports. They're also tying the payment for a practitioner with credentials implemented by a federally recognized tribe to the medical assistance outpatient mental health payment rule, as now they cannot be funded because the Children's Mental Health Act is silent on tribal credentialing. And it ties the statute to the rule defining the clinical supervision plan for mental health behavioral aid requiring a face-to-face. Let's see. They redefine or clarify the definition of mental health professionals to the definitions of licensed preschool programs and update the current statutes governing state-operated services operations in order to create an operating framework responsive to today's method of operating in healthcare. This repeals the credentialing programs that have closed or no longer exist, or task forces that have long since completed their work. One of the important Article 2, Section 1 and 8 clarifies the Minnesota statute to ensure that continued sharing of information for persons buried in state-operated cemeteries so that the graves may be marked with the person's name instead of a number. Article 2, Section 13 clarifies county responsibilities and preserves the existing state interpretation around payment for temporary confinement when a person has health coverage with a copay or a deductible. Let's see. Article 2, Section 2, 3, 4, 10, 11, 12, 14, 15, and 16 updates a cross-reference associated with repealing outdated statutes governing service programs and sites that are closed or no longer in service. And Article 2, Section 7 repeals the references to the Chemical and Mental Health Services Transformation Advisory Task Force, which is no longer in operation. And Article 2, Section 18 repeals references to report on community-based services development that was submitted to the legislature in January of 1993. Article 2, Section 9 repeals the Minnesota Extended Treatment Options Program, and this no longer exists. Article 2, Section 5 repeals references to a chief executive officer who didn't have the credentials to be a hospital administrator back in 1963, and this language is no longer needed. And Article 2, Section 18 repeals an unneeded reference for the publication and dissemination of information in the fields of mental health, mental illness, or epilepsy. And we also have a repealing of reference requiring a biennial estimate to be submitted and a proper complete system of books and accounts for each institution, since all that's done electronically now. It also repeals the shared service agreement language for laundry equipment. State-operated services no longer operates its own laundry. And it repeals the domestic services language, as medical students and physicians and interns no longer live on grounds. And it also repeals the instruction to develop a neurorehabilitation hospital in Brainerd by June of 1994. It renames state-operated services to Minnesota Specialty Behavioral Health System, and it strikes the Minnesota Security Hospital, renaming it to Minnesota Forensic Services, and the St. Peter's Regional Treatment Center ceased to exist when the last program serving persons committed as mentally ill was moved off campus, and so that is now in the Community Behavior Health Hospital in St. Peter. The stipulated class action settlement, often called the Jensen decision, with Minnesota Extended Treatment Options, or MITO, replace the inappropriate terms that appear in statute, and those are listed. And let's see. In judiciary, we added an amendment that stated that none of this terminology, it's all technical and doesn't, none of it in this article may be construed by court as making a substantive change in law. And I'm standing for questions.
Are there any questions? Is there any discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give House File 969 its third reading.
House File Number 969, a bill for an act relating to human services, modifying provisions related to chemical and mental health and state-operated services.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 59 ayes and 0 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. We move now to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. Are there any announcements? Senator Cohen.
Madam President, finance at 3:30.
Are there any more announcements? Senator Stump.
Thank you, Madam President. The Capital Investment Committee will meet at 3 p.m.
Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Rood, Senator Skoy all day. Senator Senjum from 2 to 2:20. Senator Pratt from 2 to 2:25. Are there any more announcements? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. The members probably didn't notice, but we did re-refer the same-sex marriage bill over to Senate Finance Committee. It's now been posted for tomorrow. And I just want to say thank you, everyone that voted for that, and seeing the wisdom of what Senator Limmer and I were trying to do weeks ago.
Are there any more announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Tuesday, May 7th, 3 p.m.
All those in favor, say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.